So I'm here at Debenhams Otterway, our legal experts, and this month I get to talk to Michael Henry. He's the Senior Associate Solicitor here, and this month's subject is wills and inheritance disputes. Morning, Michael.
Hello there. Very nice to talk to you today. Yes, I'd like to talk a little about wills and inheritance disputes, the area I practice in here at Debenhams Otterway, and give a little overview of the types of disputes that can arise and the steps that in some cases can be taken to try and achieve a favourable outcome for the client. And I suppose one of the first questions is, if there's a will that perhaps there are concerns or doubts about, what are the possible grounds on which that will might be challenged? And there are a few different possible challenges. Just to mention is the obvious one: if a will hasn't been signed or witnessed or drafted correctly, and that can lead to a challenge, as there are formal requirements under some 19th century legislation that stipulates the formalities there. Another specific one is if the person that has made a will was not of sound mind, they lacked testamentary capacity, as it's known. And that can be quite an interesting ground for challenges. It brings in medical evidence and time-sensitive evidence dating back to the period in which the will was being created, which may or may not have been recently. There are other areas as well. A will made perhaps under pressure or coercion, what's known as undue influence, and that's not unheard of, although it can be more difficult to establish if the individual said to have exerted the coercion was the only other person in the building or the room with the relative making the will. And lastly, just to mention, forgery is not unheard of. It features in cases from time to time, and as methods of detection improve, then more cases of forgery do come to light, and you also hear of criminal investigations linked to that. It's again an area that I think is increasingly identified and perhaps a surprise to any who haven't personally experienced it, and let's hope that none of us do in our personal lives, but in my professional capacity I have come across cases involving forged signatures, and not just forged signatures of the person making the will, but also witnesses, of course, to tick that box of complying with all the will formalities in order to create a valid will. And what I always remember is that the will is dealing with the product of someone's lifetime savings in some cases. It's something that someone's built up over a great time, and with that much at stake in some cases, large sums, people can act in terrible ways. I suppose looking at the starting point with the variety of challenges that can be made, one of the first questions is, what does the will say? Who's got the will? How do I get sight of it? And that in itself can sometimes be a challenge. Sometimes individuals might hold a will and keep it from the knowledge or sight of other potentially interested family members or parties. And there's a rule that once a grant of probate has been made, and by that I mean the formal legal document allowing a party to administer an estate, once that's been made, that will becomes a document of public record, so it can easily be obtained. But often you would want to have information about the will says, especially if you have concerns that someone might have executed a will that's, for whatever reason, invalid. You might want to have information or knowledge of that in advance before steps have been taken along the way of administering an estate and obtaining a grant. Now, as I said, that can be challenging, but it's not impossible. Often you'll run into hold your arm's length, it's confidential, you're not entitled to it, reply at the outset, but that can be overcome and there are approaches that can be made, and ultimately the court can issue a subpoena if someone is holding onto a document or hiding it. Perhaps it's the case that they benefit significantly under an intestacy and they want to keep quiet that there was a will that benefited someone else more generously. So that situation can be overcome if needs be. The next question I'm commonly asked is, how can I stop an estate being administered as I have these concerns, but those who are dealing with the matter and benefit under the will I have doubts over are ploughing on, they're moving forwards. And the answer is, if there hasn't yet been a grant of probate, a grant of representation, as it's otherwise sometimes known, issued, a block can be placed, what's known as a caveat, and that will stop an application from being progressed. It will prevent the probate registry issuing the grant, which in turn helps to prevent assets being gathered in and then distributed, which if under a will that ultimately proves to be invalid, would be going to the wrong people potentially. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've left it a little late to swing into action and a grant has already been issued, all is not lost, as it is possible to reverse a grant. But my tip would be try and act as soon as possible, make contact with your legal advisors, progress matters as swiftly as possible, because if matters have gone further down that line, money has been distributed, imagine one of the beneficiaries is abroad and money's sent abroad, it becomes more challenging to wind back something if there are circumstances such as that. Now, the next question I suppose springs to my mind is, how long would a will dispute case expect to last, to run before a resolution is reached? And I would say it can vary tremendously. No two cases are the same, as there are all depend on their own facts and number of witnesses and the evidence that's brought to bear. But in many cases, it can be months rather than spanning beyond that over a year or longer. I settled a case on behalf of a client that came in just a couple of days short of a year, 12 months just recently. It stuck in my mind as it was almost precisely to the day. But another one, less than 6 months.
Right.
Now, it depends on how reasonable the other party is to the dispute. Mm-hmm. There is also a question I commonly field, which is, do I have to go to court? Mm. Many people, and it's fully understandable, will be concerned or nervous or reluctant to have to face a court hearing, and that is not something that you have to face in all of these cases. Mm. It's quite common that a matter will be resolved without going anywhere near the court, not even the issue of court proceedings, as the pre-action engagement between the parties, lawyers can achieve a resolution. There's alternative dispute resolution that I very wholeheartedly recommend and the courts strongly encourage, as that can lead to a swifter and more cost-effective resolution that's via negotiation between the parties, facilitated via a mediator, an independent mediator, and that way achieve a better overall outcome. Mm.
Thank you for all this, Michael. This is absolutely great advice. I heard of a story about a lady that was in a care home and she was giving away lots of money. How would you kind of safeguard your family or your relatives from something like that?
Well, yes, that can be very challenging and it's sadly not unheard of. The experiences I've had have included individuals who perhaps have been said to be strongly influenced by others, so someone in a position of trust and confidence, it can lead them to be able to influence that individual, overriding almost their free will. Mm. Now, what we're probably concerned with there is not a will or an inheritance situation, but a lifetime gift, of course, and the rules are slightly different there that make it, in some cases, easier to challenge lifetime gifts that are cause for concern. I bring to mind a gentleman who gave away the best part of a couple of £100,000, a case report I read, and that was pretty much everything he had. And the concern would be, how could he then fund his ongoing day-to-day expenses and living? And the person he benefited with that very, very generous gift was, in that case, he wasn't in a home, he was in his own home, and it was a near neighbour from a street or two away, a lady who had become close to him, no family connection, but had looked in on him from time to time. And with that caring sort of connection, and I use the word in possibly a loose sense, you could well see that she was in a position to exert some influence over him. Now, the family, this came to light after the gentleman sadly died, and the family were in a position then to question that situation, and the rules are quite helpful in this case. There's what's known as a presumption of undue influence if there's a relationship of trust and confidence, and there's a transaction such as giving away almost all of your assets that calls for an explanation, such as someone being left in financial difficulty if an act of generosity is wholly out of proportion to the kindness they've been shown. So the answer is that it is possible to pursue that sort of issue rather than have to live with that and be disappointed at the outcome that your relative left you a generous gift in their will, but there was nothing in the estate to actually fund it, as it had all been channeled away shortly before their death in their lifetime. And the court can force the recipient to return the assets that would then form part of the estate, so overturn that wrongdoing. I hope that's helpful.
Really helpful. Thank you so much for your time. That's Michael Henry talking about wills here at Debenhams Otterway, our legal experts. And if you need advice, then do get in touch with them via their website, or give them a call, or walk along the high street here in St Albans.